All right. It's your jolly little radio elf here. In my workshop. No longer my hut. We'll come back to that in January. In December, it's my workshop. It's a Friday morning show. Welcome to it. Thank you for waking up with us. And as we always end the week, having a conversation with Terry Anderson, President CHI St. Francis. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Good to see you.
And glad to see you, too.
All right. So what are we talking today? You got a great introduction to me.
I do. You know, we are so blessed at St. Francis to have a chaplaincy full-time. It ties into, like, I'm the nursing part or administrative part. It's the health side, but we also can meet the needs of our residents and our patients spiritually and also employees when there's been, you know, a crisis or something going on. So with me today, I have Chaplain Paul Peterson, who is just going to share a little bit of life at CHI St. Francis. So
fantastic.
I'm going to give it to you, Paul.
Paul, step on up. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being a part of the morning show here. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me the background. How did you come into this position?
So I was a Lutheran pastor for 16 years in rural North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin. And I decided that I was going to leave the church and leave that aspect of ministry. And I was actually working over in Dunham's in Fergus Falls as their outdoor specialist, and then COVID happened, and I started to think about what God was calling me to do, and I was thinking about the plague of Cyprian, which happened in about 280, where there was a huge plague, and it was happened right after great persecutions of Christians, and when the plague happened. It was some type of basically, if you got it, you died. Everyone who got it died. And so people were taking their loved ones and putting them in the street to die because it was 100% fatal. And it was also very contagious. And the Christians who had just been persecuted went into the streets and started to care for people. And many of them died in the process. And it was the greatest witness in Rome and in other places at that time that turned many people to Christ because they said, see what love they have. And so I was, at the beginning of our plague, I was thinking about what God was calling me to do. And I thought about doing, going into chaplaincy. And my sister works at St. Francis. And she says, St. Francis is looking for a chaplain. And so I applied and I started. Five years ago on Monday. So December 1st was my fifth year anniversary of working at St. Francis.
So bring me up to speed. What has the 5 years been to you? It's been a wonderful journey. Okay.
So a difference between being a pastor and a chaplain is a pastor serves people from the cradle to the grave that are members of their congregation. A chaplain serves individuals when they are in the institution that the chaplain is at. So when a person comes to St. Francis, I will provide spiritual, emotional, psychological care for that person while they are at St. Francis. But when they go and when they are discharged from the hospital or something like that, then I no longer walk alongside of them. So it's just in that frame of reference of when they are a patient or when they are a resident at the home. And so I work hand in hand with our local clergy. One of the first questions that I ask people when I go to visit them is, do you have a congregation and do you have a pastor? And does they know that you're here? And if they don't, I ask permission. Because I always have to ask permission for me to call them. And then sometimes they say, yeah, please call them. And sometimes they say, don't. and I do whatever that patient or resident wishes.
So let me ask this is a big question, too. Serving people's spiritual needs in your capacity, what's the biggest challenge for you? What has been the biggest challenge?
Well,
That's huge. That is a very broad question.
It's a pastor serves a person of a particular denomination,
yeah.
Right? A Lutheran pastor serves Lutherans. A Catholic priest serves their Catholic congregants. As a chaplain, I am called to all people. And so when people come to St. Francis, whether it is in the acute care of the hospital or the long-term care, it's not about me. It's about what is the spiritual need of this person. And like for, I am ordained Protestant, and so there are certain things that I can do for Protestants. I am not Catholic, so there are certain things that I can't do for Catholics. But my job then becomes to find the person who can. And is and sometimes the analogy that I like to use is I'm the point guard, not the shooting guard.
You're kind of like a bridge.
Yeah.
You really are. You're a bridge.
I'm a bridge to, and for some people, they have no, they don't have a congregation, and maybe they don't have faith. And so what my job there is isn't to come to talk to them about Jesus, but is to come to see how are they processing the emotional and the psychological aspects of being in a hospital. How are they processing the transition that maybe they've been falling at home and now they are going to have to go to a long-term care facility and they're going to be losing their independence? And how are they going to process their disenfranchised grief about those things? And so I can walk alongside of them to help them process that, maybe not with a lens of Jesus, but just as a lens of humanity.
And again, getting them from one side to the other.
Exactly.
Wow. So we covered the challenge. What's been the biggest reward over the last 5 years?
The biggest reward is to walk alongside of people and to live each day with people. In the long-term care side, I view my role as being a person to walk that last mile with people until they go to their eternal home. And to walk alongside of them, to be with them, to encourage them, to say good morning, 5 days a week, to be able to greet them, have them ask me questions about how are your dogs doing today, especially when it's cold, and just to chat and just to share life with one another. That has been the greatest joy.
Beautiful, beautiful words. Paul, thank you so much for coming and talking with us. Make me a promise you'll come back and talk with us again.
Anytime.
When you do that. And you have a great, great Christmas season. All right, Terry, step back up.
Isn't he wonderful?
Man, man, talk about total care.
Right?
You know, you kind of take there's a little slice of the whole pie.
Right.
At CHI these days.
Right.
You're kind of taking care of the entire individual.
The total needs of that individual. You know, and when I came to St. Francis, it was the sisters that created it. It was that mission, our mission statement as Common Spirit Health. We make the healing presence of God known in our world by advancing the health of the people we serve. Resonated so deep. It changed throughout. I mean, it had changed in the first couple of years, but it means so much. It's that spiritual guidance. It's that spiritual atmosphere that we have. And coming from several other critical access hospitals, there's not that chaplaincy. It's the pastors and the priests that come in and the ministers on an on-call basis. So to have that walking in the halls and having that readily at our hands is just awesome.
I don't want to get too Beach Boys, but it's definitely good vibrations.
Absolutely, you know,
that is a great life vibration. Yep.
And Paul and I've had some conversations. You know, like you know, nobody should die alone. You know, and somebody should be there. And so Paul prides himself. You know, if he can't be there, he just makes sure that. Because, you know, he's like, can't be there 24/7, but he's got it all set up. You know, birth is beautiful. We bring people into the world, we celebrate, we enjoy, and things are good. Death should be that way. We have one chance to do it right, and Paul has that resonated in him that we're going to get that right. So, anyway.
Everybody needs a bridge.
That's right.
And you provide that.
Yep.
I love it.
Yeah.
Terry, always great to have you in here.
Thanks, Bill.
We could talk for hours.
I know.
Terry
I know.
Anderson, CHI, St. Francis President. We talk with Terry every Friday. You have the best weekend you've ever had.
You also, Bill.
All right.
Thank you.
9:32, you're the voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW. Good morning.
This is the Ag Central Radio Network. I'm News and Farm Director Eric Johnson. American Crystal Sugar Company held its annual shareholders meeting in Fargo on Thursday, announcing another record sugar beet crop for 2025, while acknowledging that there were significant market challenges.
crop production in 25 was unequaled, with a total of 13.3 million tons of sugar beets harvested. Although this is a new record for harvested tons and a fair sugar content of 18%. But declining world sugar prices and excessive imports are making for a very challenging sugar market, bringing the forecasted net payment per ton to $43.85. That's a stark difference between last year's payment of $78. On Thursday's Farm Talk, we talked weather with Endon Director Daryl Richeson.
Holy cats, was it cold this morning? Trying to walk into the holiday.